When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There is no better group of plants for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to answer some of your gardening queries. Later on, I'll be joined by the founding editor of BBC Gardeners World magazine, one of the top gardening journalists out there. It's Adam Pascoe. My thanks to Mr. Fothergill Seeds, sponsors of this podcast. Several weeks back I did warn you about the blackthorn winter, and lo and behold, on Tuesday night, quite a sharp frost across the country. Boy, I hate that. Early warm springs and then a night frost. I was out after dark with tubes of horticultural fleece, slipping them over branches of my apricots and the very early fruiting plums in the hope that I could protect those fruits. It's a really tricky time. I don't know what our neighbours thought with these ghostly apparitions floating on the branches of my trees, but there we are. You know, in the old days, they used to have heaters that they put in orchards and big cubes of paraffin wax that they'd set alight. And the heat from those heaters and the wax and the black smoke helped to give some frost protection. Now they tend to use irrigation or great big Spanish tunnels with polythene cover. It can be a frustrating time for fruit growers. Now there are lots of gardens, public and private, opening up to the public, and it's certainly worth keeping an eye out for those that are local. I noticed that my local RHS garden, Hyde Hall, has a spring plant fair this coming weekend, and the azaleas and rhododendrons, they're all breaking, and I would like to try and get to the Windsor Valley Garden, Windsor Great Park. They're going to look fantastic in the next week or two. If you're out gardening and haven't really touched the soil for some months, don't really dig deeply at this time of year. If you dig especially heavy soils, they just come up in big lumps and dry out, and it'll be very difficult to grow anything sensibly through the summer. Much better to just very thinly chip off any weed growth and then fork up the top inch or two of soil, mix in a bit of old compost if you've got some handy, and then you will be able to sow. Growth may not be quite so good as with winter digging, but it'll be good enough. Under shrubs and in amongst perennial flowers, quite a useful tip is to do what we call slice cultivating. Get the spade horizontal and just cut off a slip of soil that's about an inch or an inch and a half deep, and then flip it over like tossing a pancake, and that buries all the trash and leaves you with a nice clean surface. Put a sprinkling of general fertiliser, especially under shrubs, well, and amongst the perennial flowers, and then it'll be all set for the summer. If you want to make life really easy, then a good mulch on top of that, just to keep the moisture in and to smother the weeds. Under shrubs, I sometimes use lawn mowings. What you have to be careful is that the lawn mowings don't go right up close to the stem. Leave 2 or 3 inches, just so that there is some air between the shrub and those mowings. I've planted a new row of asparagus, and the new shoots are just coming through. Some of them will be about 12 or 15 inches high, and of course they're very tender at that stage. So if you've planted asparagus and got young stuff just growing, a cane placed alongside them and a tie will be very helpful. And also keep an eye out for slugs, the old story. I'm very pleased to introduce you today to Adam Pascoe. Adam and I go back for a good few years, I think it'd be fair to say. He was founding editor for for that really successful BBC Gardeners World magazine and currently editor of the Waitrose Gardening magazine. Adam, how are things up there in Peterborough?
Very well. In Peterborough, where I've been based for a few years now, looking really good. I just absolutely adore this time of year because all of a sudden we turn a corner once we get to March and April, and the days have got longer. The bulbs have come up and we've had those wonderful displays of narcissus. And now, you know, every day you go in the garden, something else seems to have burst into bloom and the seeds are germinating. And the garden is full of excitement and promise, isn't it?
It is. And I love to see the new growth on trees. I was involved a long time ago with some of that roadside planting at Peterborough, where we had thousands and thousands of trees going in. And that new growth on the oaks and the ash, when it's seen from a distance, is really beautiful, isn't it?
It is lovely. I mean, the garden goes through seasons, and we all know those seasons. We all have our favourites. We have a favourite time of year. But trees, like you say, I think trees are an important part of any garden, even a tiny garden. So often people don't think they've got room for a tree. But once the sap starts rising, you know, if it's been dormant all winter and all you've had is those sort of unpromising twigs, looking at my apple trees at the moment, and you suddenly notice the buds starting to open, the first green of the leaves, and the flowers are there on the fruit trees as well, just coming. And you just sort of, you know, it puts a little bit of happiness in your heart, doesn't it, as you look forward to what's to come in the summer.
Yes, and a spring in your step. You know, I can actually sense that spring in your step. Adam, can I take you back?
Yeah.
I mean, because you started pretty well in journalism with Garden News, if I remember correctly.
It was actually with Garden Answers magazine, Peter. I wasn't quite sure where I was going to go with my career. Probably a lot of people are in that position. You know, what am I going to do? What qualification am I going to have? And so on. And I started off with a high enough diploma in what was then applied biology. Decided that wasn't my route. Went back to university and studied horticulture, thinking I was going to go into advisory work then with the then Ministry of Agriculture. But in my final term at university, a brand new gardening magazine was launched down in London from Haymarket Publishing called Garden Answers. And I saw an advert in the back of Horticulture Week, which is where we all look for jobs back in those days. And they were looking for a technical editor, and I applied and I got it. And that was my first step into journalism on the new monthly Garden Answers. From there, I moved on to the weekly Garden News, and from there, got a phone call one day, and I was lucky enough to be approached, thanks to Jeff Hamilton, who put my name forward, the late Jeff Hamilton, who presented Gardeners World, at a time when the BBC was looking at expanding its publishing portfolio. They'd launched Good Food magazine, which was very successful, and thought, actually, our audience does like gardening, and Gardeners World as a television program had been very popular, and so they approached me to create the magazine version.
Don't I remember something about garden trugs?
Well, back in the day, Peter, you know, when you're trying to get into a very competitive marketplace, gardening magazines then, you know, had gone through the typical remit of putting a packet of seeds on the front cover and trying to get you to buy it and so on. But when we were creating Gardeners World magazine, we were trying to be a little bit more adventurous and came up with some new ideas. And we got to know a company in Wales who did a lot of plastic moulding. They made little plastic gizmos and widgets and bits and pieces which you'd buy in garden centres, you know, the plastic dibbers and the like. And they came up with an idea for a garden trug, a plastic trug. And it was so big that actually the magazine fitted inside the trug. And that was our free gift. It was all in a bag. The garden centres and news agents were absolutely astonished that anyone should come up with a gift that was so big. But the worst of it was, back in the days, we had an awful lot of subscribers. And the problem the post office had is this trug with the Gardeners World magazine wouldn't fit through any letterboxes at all. So it was, I think we created quite a stir across the country, but it was a phenomenal success. Things are different now, but at our peak, we were selling just short of 400,000 copies of Gardeners World magazine every month. That was putting gardening in the top 10 magazines sold in the country. And you and I know that gardening is popular, but a lot of people, I don't think we're quite how popular gardening is as a hobby. You get relentless food and cookery programs on television, but probably you've got more people actively gardening than actively cooking, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure too. But I mean, the thought of 400,000 trucks and half of them going through that the post.
It was an awful lot of plastic moulding, I tell you. And I think the company in Wales that was making these gadgets, I think they almost blew up their local substation because they were using so much power to make these things. 24 hours a day, this machine was belting out trucks and handles and so I've actually still got my truck. It was a really nice gift. It hit the spot at the time. I think things have moved on a little bit now. But still, it was just trying to get people gardening, which is what you and I have been trying to do all of our sort of working lives, is trying to get people to pick up a magazine, read a gardening book, tune into a podcast, watch a gardening program. I mean, the gardening media has expanded massively, and we now reach people in different ways. But back then, television and magazines and newspapers were the key ways that we were spreading the message.
Oh, without question.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
But in the course of your work, Adam, you'll have met all the big names, won't you?
I've been so lucky because... My inspirations, when I go back to, you know, I was first getting, you know, before I did my degree, and I was first getting interested in gardening. Obviously, gardened as a kid and so on and so on. But then I was watching people like Jeffrey Smith, who developed a fantastic television series called World of Flowers. And Jeffrey would travel the world finding the origins of different plants and flowers. I can just picture him, you in Mexico, lying flat on the ground, looking at where the first dahlia species came from, actually then towering great plants, which, you know, the plant hunters would have got and brought back and bred and hybridized and so on and so on. Jeffrey's enthusiasm was infectious. He clearly loved plants. He had an absolute passion for gardening. So when I launched Gardener's World, I had the pleasure of thinking, I need someone to write a wildlife gardening column. Got in touch with Jeffrey, and he, you know, very gratefully said yes, he'd like to do it. So I've worked with the great Arthur Billett when I was on Garden Answers. Arthur was one of the original presenters of Gardener's World television. He produced the program from his garden at Clack's Farm. Jeff Hamilton, Your Good Self, Alan Titchmarsh, I've worked with for many, many years as well. People who I admire, I've got their books. I mean, your book on shrubs, Peter, it was one of the first gardening books I ever bought. When I started working horticulture before I did my degree, I worked on a tree and shrub nursery called Slowcocks just outside Woking in Surrey. And my passion was shrubs. It still is. I do love shrubs. I think they're in many ways undervalued and hopefully due for a little bit more of a revival because they're valuable plants in the garden. But your book on shrubs was just a really good pictorial encyclopedia which introduced me to many of the shrubs I still grow and love today.
Keep stroking my back. Adam, we all like flattery. But I mean, when you mentioned Slowcock, Goodness, what a name that was.
Well,
did you work with the son, Martin?
Or? I worked with Martin Slowcock. Yes, Slowcock's was an old-fashioned nursery. They used to be based just outside Woking in Surrey. I think it was called Goldsworth Park or something, which then they sold the old nursery for buildings. I think it's called Goldsworth Park. If anyone knows the Surrey area and the Woking area, they'll know. Martin Slowcock moved the nursery to Knapp Hill, and I started there pre-university, working on a number of things. My first job there, which it was in the autumn, and I worked with the rhododendron foreman there, a guy called Paul, quite a young chap, but looked much older, great big thick beard, used to puff away at a pipe as he walked around the nursery. And as we moved into that first winter I was on the nursery, I was working with him. He was the rhododendron foreman, and we would go out in the morning with the tractor, with some pieces of Hessian sacking, with a bowl of string, with our spade, and we would dig rhododendron plants out of the field with a lovely big ball of roots. We would then tightly tie a piece of Hessian sacking around those roots, and that is what the customer got sent. This was almost before the day when everything came in a plastic pot. These were field-grown plants which were lifted and sent out to customers. And I remember one day, Paul would pick up the order list in the morning, and he looked at this order of rhododendrons. Right, today we've got these plants to dig up from the field. He said, these are the plants that the Queen Mother has ordered from the Chelsea Flower Show, because Slowcock put on fantastic displays of rhododendrons at Chelsea. The Queen Mother every year would walk round, look at the stand and make a note of the varieties and order them. And that day we lifted the plants for her garden.
What experience you've got then, Adam. It's unbelievable,
fun,
isn't
Peter.
It? Yeah, but you need that depth of experience, don't you? And I mean, you're using that now for the gardening magazine.
I'd like to think so. People in publishing publish in different ways. People are always looking for trends and fashions. The problem with, I think, quite often the TV media is they're almost looking for a wacky alternative angle rather than trusting the subject matter can speak for itself, and relying on the fact that you don't need to make plants trendy, wacky, alternative. They have the natural beauty that nothing else can compete with. So because I've always had that interest in plants, I try and, when I develop the content plan for a magazine, like at the moment with Waitrose Garden Magazine, you just want to write about things or get other people to write about the things I want to read about, the gardens I like to visit, the techniques that I know people can use in their own gardens that will deliver them success. Take the guesswork out of gardening. Avoid the pitfalls. You know, you and I have been through those pitfalls. We've fallen down the holes. We've made the mistakes.
Yeah.
You now want to share the success so that people can be successful first time, and therefore not wasting, you know, time, money and effort being unsuccessful.
Yes, an old solicitor up in Norfolk once told me that you regret your economies, never your extravagances. And I think in gardening, you know, yes, buy the best packet of seed, buy the best plant, because otherwise you can lose a season or half a lifetime.
You can. But there's several aspects to gardening. I mean, we've seen, you know, through the years, particularly with the ground force days and so on, a sector of society that want it now. Possibly a sector of society have got a little bit of money in their pocket and they think they can buy instant gratification. Of course you can do that in gardening, but to me that's not really what gardening is all about. You're missing something if you think that I'm just going to buy ready-grown plants, particularly vegetable plants. I think, you know, people go out and they're spending a lot of money buying, you know, some ready-grown beans in a pot, or a ready-grown courgette plant or something like that, when actually getting out with how fun it is and the enjoyment you can get and possibly the money you can save if you bought a packet of seeds. Choose your variety carefully, something you know is going to taste good, something which has possibly got built-in disease resistance that you're looking for. Choose your variety wisely, and then just enjoy the thrill of sowing the seed and watching it grow. You miss all of that if you go out and just, you know, with 10 quid in your pocket and you buy the plants instead. And that's what you hope you can share, but sometimes in publishing, the people that are making the decisions don't share the same passion as possibly you and I have got. And you're trying to educate them along the way and say, no, trust me. This is what readers want. You might not think it's that exciting, but this is what gardening is all about.
It's quite hard work, isn't it? Doing that persuasion. Yes, I've been down that route. But Adam, it's great to hear your enthusiasm. And I really don't understand why, after all the years I've been gardening, seeing a bean grow still gives immense satisfaction. Why is that?
I'm not quite sure what it is about that natural connection that we've got, and some of us need and some of us miss in life. Certainly, you know, hoping that, you know, things go full circle. Some people carry on with this, you know, a hectic lifestyle and possibly miss out on stopping and looking and listening. And I do try and say that when I give gardening talks. I quite often finish the gardening tour that might be full of plants and ideas and practical tips and so on. I always finish with enjoy the moment. Just take and spend that little bit of time sitting and looking, and when you do, you suddenly notice, you know, what nature is doing behind our backs, sometimes in front of our very eyes other times, whether it be the insects, whether it be the birds, whether it just be the way plants are growing, seeds are germinating, anything is growing, you know, the way weeds come up, you know, the opportunism of a weed that finds a little gap and decides to make its home in the garden. I was out this morning, actually. The gaps between my paths have got some bittercress weed growing. And bittercress is a little tiny weed. It starts flowering, you know, really, really early in the year. But it's so successful because you see the flower heads on it. As soon as you touch them, they shatter and explode and spread their seeds out across your garden. They're so successful and colonizing an area. And you just have to wonder at nature and the plants which are there. So you do want to try and spread the word. Just say, look, just spend a little bit of time pottering and gardening. No matter what your level of expertise is, no matter how small your garden is, there is something you can do. You know, I just say, so take one pot, fill it with compost, sprinkle some salad, a mixed salad seeds over the top. Within weeks, you'll be just enjoying picking some lovely, tasty, fresh salad leaves that you have grown yourself. And it costs pence to do, Peter, doesn't it?
It does. Adam, it's great speaking to you. I must chat more about the Slowcock history and of course, those experiences with the great TV gardeners. Thank you very much for joining us
today. It's been lovely talking to you, Peter. Gardening.
There is one question which has come through to me from somebody with increasing years up in the fens who's worried that the garden is getting away from them and they really want advice on what to do. My advice really is that if your garden is too big and if you're not coping, is to pull back, you know, let Mother Nature have the corners. Now, if that really worries you, then you need to plant strong, vigorous shrubs and then just cover the ground beneath them with a weed-suppressing membrane. Make sure that the moisture can get through that. And then you can just concentrate what energy and efforts you've got closer to home and make that look the way you want it to be. And really don't worry too much about the rest. The only other alternative, with modern housing estates now having a very limited garden space, is perhaps to send a letter to the local paper or speak to your local BBC broadcasting programme and just say, does anybody want a bit of land? Because it's not always easy for young people who would like to grow a few fruits and vegetables to find space, and who knows, you may be able to share part of your plot. I wish you luck, but whatever you do, don't worry about it. Gardening needs to be, as Adam said, a pleasure. Thanks again to our sponsors this week, Mr. Fothergill Seeds, and thank you for listening. We'll be back next Thursday.
Need
new glasses, or want a fresh new style, Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.